third one, he likes you. Right? Now, some people don't believe that, but he likes you. Hey, before you're seated, let's have the kids come up. We're going to dismiss them. Once a month, at the end of the month, we have the kids come in with us, and they're supposed to observe us worshiping. I saw one young lady over here. Mom had her hands raised, and so she did too. I like that stuff. That's a good example. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Batman, huh? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. You just wandering around? Okay. Yeah. Oh, I love these kids. I'm telling you. Hey, do you guys love Jesus? Okay, well, yeah, that's okay. They nodded. I mean, do you really love Jesus? Okay, that's a little better. Okay. Do you incredibly, triply, quadruply love Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray for him. Father, we thank you for our kids. And Lord, there has been seeds planted in them and watered. And we pray, Lord, that you would give the increase in every part of their life. That, Lord, I pray that if they're not saved, that you would save them. I pray, Lord, that as they grow in stature, that they might grow in spirit and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would give each one of them a vision of you and who you are. And a vision of how they can partner with you in doing your will and purpose in this world. Oh, bless them as they go today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Don't run, but walk fast. Faster. That's running. Oh, I love it. Candy, you're going out with them? Awesome. I thought you were one of the kids. Awesome. All right. So this, we kind of done some things today with the youth, you know, greeting, and in fact, we're going to have the two youth leaders come on up, Ange and Steve, come on up. And if some of you, oh, yeah. Wow. Awesome. Ange, how you doing?
Great.
Good. Ange is the quiet one. Well, not all the time. Hey, I'm so proud of our youth. They're kind of co-leaders. The girls and the boys, you get that? And I'm proud of them, and they have such a great staff helping, and you know, the rest of them, they do all the work and they get all the glory. So, oh, yeah, amen. It's interesting. Tuesday nights, we have what we call the good fight. If you like the Fight Club better, that's, you can take that. But what we do is we meet together, we pray together, we worship together, we battle in a life for each other, in our faith, in our trust in God, and help strengthen each other. And Stephen and Ange, they come on Tuesday night as well. And I noticed, Stephen, that there's some kids that come. Tell us what you guys do.
Yeah, so, is this on?
No.
There you go.
There it is. So we come in, we watch the video or the live teaching, whatever's going on, and then we have a small group out in our youth room where me, Ange, and Maria meet, and then any of the youth that want to come or anyone that really wants to focus on youth can come to it. Normally it's just the kids, but anyone's welcome. And then we go around in a circle. We discuss the teaching. If anyone has questions, we try to answer them to the best of our abilities. And then we encourage everyone We ask three questions every week. Have you read your Bible this week? If so, what'd you get out of it? A lot of times we're kind of slacking in that area, but we're trying to encourage each other to get better at that. The second question we ask is, how's your prayer life? Are you praying for just yourself or people around you? We encourage them and us to be praying for our community and everyone around us. And then the third thing is, we ask if anyone's reaching out, really spreading the gospel, and we struggled pretty good with that one, so it kind of has turned to like, has anyone done any good deeds with a little bit of Jesus with it? And we're trying to move in a little more into that. And then afterwards, my favorite part, we go around asking if anyone has specific prayer requests, and then we have some cool lighting in there, so we put some cool lighting on. We got a sound system, so we play some worship music, and then we will pray for those specific things, and then it's just like popcorn prayer for whatever. A lot of times we pray for the youth. If we know anyone's struggling, we'll pray specifically for them. But we just sit there, and sometimes, I mean, there's been times where it's been like 10 minutes, 10, sometimes a little more, most of the time more like 5 minutes. And we just sit and wait on Jesus. And it's been so encouraging to see the kids, because the first couple weeks we did that, they were real awkward and nervous. And I mean, I was too a little bit, but we're like, we're just going to break through this. And now we have kids that every week are stepping out and praying and just whatever God's calling them to pray for. So it's just been really encouraging to see them grow in that.
That's incredible. That's wonderful. And there's several that go. Mm-hmm. And not too long ago, I took you home. I don't know why. You needed a ride. Mm-hmm. Maria left you or something. Yeah. I don't know
you
what happened there.
Oh,
I wanted to talk to you. That's what it was. Okay. And so there were a bunch of kids there. Come to find out, every Tuesday night. Now if you're a teen, listen to this. Every Tuesday night, they go over to Steve and Maria's house, and you go too. They go over to Steve and Maria's house, and she fixes them dinner. Now, if I was a teen, I would be there on Tuesday night. I'm telling you, wouldn't it be great if there was 40 teens and they all go and you have to cook, Maria? Wouldn't that be fun? everybody's welcome.
Youth,
is that what
youth
you said?
Are
no
welcome
teen.
To that
youth,
part. Youth,
youth. Youth. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good. Anyway, that's exciting. Ange,
all right.
Now listen, please tell us what's going on tonight.
Okay, so tonight is Rowdy's annual spaghetti feed. It starts at 5 p.m., cost is $5 per person or $20 for a family. There will be a dessert auction, and we are having a raffle for Roger Lap Barbecue. So come, you'll be served by the youth, they're awesome, they're ready to serve you guys, so come and support them.
Excellent. Where does the money go?
The money goes to Rowdy for their Brain Freeze camp next month.
Very good. Very good. Brain Freeze, that's an interesting name. Anyway. Okay, Stephen's going to give the rest of the announcements, and then we'll continue on.
So Tuesday we have Fight Club, or the Good Fight, whatever you want to call it, which we just talked about. I would strongly encourage you to come. I personally have grown a lot from Tuesday nights. My prayer life has grown. My desire to read the word has grown, and just having a thought to actually reach out to people throughout the week has grown. So I would encourage you, if you want to take the next step in your faith, come on Tuesdays. Wednesday at 6:30, we have Awanas here. So if you got some youngins, bring them to that. And then we have Rowdy from 6:15 to 8. So if you got a youth kid, bring them to that. And then February 15th through 18th is Brain Freeze, which is what the fundraiser tonight is for. I grew up in this church, so I went to Brain Freeze pretty much 6th grade to 12th grade, and it is probably the most impactful 3 days every year of my life throughout those years. So if you have a kid and you want them to encounter Jesus, send them. If you are a kid and you want to encounter Jesus, come. And then we have Men's Retreat, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. So if you are a man over 18, I would highly suggest to come to that. I have the opportunity to be one of the speakers along with my dad. So I'm pretty excited. If you want to hear from a youngster and an old fart, you know, come. Come learn about Jesus, learn how to be a spiritual leader in your household, and fall in love with God even more. Pastor Dave.
Did he say old fart? And you enjoyed that. We're going to open up the Word this morning as we continue to look at the book of John and about Jesus Christ. I tell you, I think if you read the Gospels and you read them over and over, you're going to do nothing but fall in love with Jesus more and more. Jesus is everything to us. And we love him because he first loved us. And how exciting to be able to just live for him and to serve him and to be part of what he's doing here in this world. What a privilege, what an honor that we have. It's been several years ago. It's been many years ago. It's a long time ago. We had a group of 12 brave individuals to go fishing together on a boat. And we went out in the ocean. Now, on the trip over there at, 4 o'clock in the morning, man, the wind was blowing so hard and it was raining so terribly. And so we're thinking, oh, they're not going to go out. And they're going to shut it down, man. As we're going along the ocean, I mean, the waves are like 100 foot high or something like that. You know, that's exaggeration. But, it looked really stormy out there. And so we get to where we're going to rent the boat, and the captain's there. And we say, hey, are they going to let us go out? Oh, yeah, they'll let us go out. And they said, the captain said, but I'm not going out in it. You're not going out in it. No, he said, but my son will take you out if you really want to go out. Well, I'm no dumb bunny. I know if the captain's not going out, I don't want to go out. I mean, I'm smart. But some dumb person said, let's vote. I said, well, we don't need to vote. We're wise. We're not going to go out in this stuff. And so we voted. There's 12 of us. There are 2 smart people. And with the rest of them, I don't. Any of you here that went out on that day, yeah.
I don't remember it though.
Yeah. And so, 10 dumb guys. Now, there was women too, but so we go out. And the ship goes down. Waves go up. Now, I'm fishing, and at this point, right off, I catch 2 fish. So you know how you want to beat everybody. And so I've caught 2 fish. I think someone else caught 2 fish. And so I'm tied for first out of the 12. But something went wrong in my body. And so the rest of, I don't know how many hours it was. It was like 40 hours. The rest of the time, I am chumming the fish, and they're just catching them right and left. After a while, someone said, and the ship hand, he's chumming too. And after a while, someone said, oh, it was the guy getting the boat. Hey, should we go in and let these guys off the hook? And one of the dumb ones chimed in and says, "No, we paid for this and we want our money's worth." I could have killed him. So, yeah. So that's how that trip went. We come to the disciples. They're, you know, they're fishermen. And they're out on the boat. And the wind begins to blow. So let's read in John 6, it's in your notes, 16 to 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got in the boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because the strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near. And they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Just a short little story. There's a little more added to this. That isn't in this text because John is dealing with certain thing. But in I think it's Mark or Luke, Peter, "Lord, let me walk with you." And he jumps into the sea and walks. As long as he keeps his eye on Jesus Christ, he's walking with Jesus. But the point that John wants to make once again is, who is this man, Jesus Christ? Who is this one that we call our Savior? Who is this one that we lean upon who has saved our soul? This Jesus Christ. He's not just a good man. He's not just a cool guy. He's not just a teacher. But there's something that is very special about him. This is God in the flesh dwelling among us. And over again, John points this out. And at this point, he's showing who this Christ is once again. I mean, people just don't walk on water. But this Jesus can walk on water because he controls the water. This Jesus can walk on water because he's all powerful. He's holy. And the first point that I wanted to point out there is that Jesus is holy. And let me tell you something about Jesus being holy. When they saw him, now listen, they weren't frightened because of the storm. I mean, I've been in storms and I was frightened. Not that day that people don't remember correctly. Not that day, but I was golfing one day. And in South Salem, and it just started pouring down, which was no big deal. And we played in the rain all the time. We put our raincoats on, get under the tree, you know, so the rain isn't hitting right on us because it was really coming down. And all of a sudden, lightning, and you could see it, and it was close. Now, do you know you're not supposed to be under a tree when the lightning strikes? Do you understand that? So I run out, and as I'm putting on my thing, and then a horn blows, and everybody has to go in because it's dangerous to be out there. But it was scary. It was scary. The lightning was close, and we were in harm's way. Well, these guys aren't frightened because of the wind. They've been out there before. And it wasn't like it was a horrible storm, but the wind came up and they were really rowing to get to the shore that they wanted to go. Now, about 2 or 3 miles they have rowed. And so they become frightened because they see something not of this world. They see something that is out of character of a human being. They see Jesus Christ. They don't know it at the time, but they see a man. They see something out there, something supernatural. and they're frightened. And Jesus said, it is I, which actually means Jesus says, I am. And that's the very word that was used in the Old Testament when Moses said, hey, who shall I say sent me? And God says, I am who I am. I am. And in the translation from the Hebrew to the Greek, exactly the same thing. It means the same thing. Jesus is saying of himself, hey, I am. There was no beginning of me and no end of me. I always am. I wasn't, I just always am. He's forever. The beginning and the end. He's always been. And I know that must have not sunk in to them at the time, because it took a while for them to get who this Christ is. But John is trying to reveal to us that this Jesus is not just a man, not just a good teacher, not just a prophet, but he's truly the Son of God. He is truly God made flesh. That God the Father gave his only begotten Son, not something that he created, but someone who always existed with the Father. And so this made this even more special, even in a greater, more powerful way, that he gave his Son. He gave his Son for us. There is something that is attractive to the supernatural. There's something within us that seemed to be drawn. I mean, even little kids, let me watch that ghost story. Everyone told me. And so you let them watch the ghost story. Then they say to you, why did you let me watch that ghost story? I'm not going to sleep tonight. But they're drawn to that. But there's also the other side. There's a fear factor. And it is with God Almighty, because he's God. And it was Isaiah who, in his relationship with God and praying to God, and says, I'll go. And then he gets in the presence of God and he says, I'm an evil man. I'm a sinner. And he falls on his face before God. And even Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, and he goes to the Father, and John, this John that wrote St. John, he has a vision. And you can read in Revelations, the first chapter, and he has a vision. And he sees Jesus, and he falls on his face, because this holy, holy God is different than he had imagined before. The resurrection and the glorified Jesus Christ comes back, and he shines like the sun. That's how it is with God. I mean, Moses was curious. Hey, there's something supernatural going up there. Look at there's a bush there burning, but it's not being consumed. And he's curious and he goes, but then he meets God and he falls on his face. There's something that is empowering, something that is glorious. There's something that is beyond our understanding in meeting God. But it's interesting. And there's a point that I want to make this morning, is that these disciples, they were frightened, but then when they found out it was Jesus, they invited him into the boat. They recognize him as something powerful and holy and almighty, and they invited him into the boat. Who's ever on that phone? Invite him to the boat, would you? Have you invited God into your boat? Now, that's easy for us to say, well, of course I have. Yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in that. But really, have you invited him into the boat? And especially the boat that's in a storm. Is he with you? Or do you find yourself alone wondering where God is? Because let's think about a boat. Another time I told you that they were frightened because a storm was going to overtake them. Jesus was restful. He was down below resting his head and sleeping. They had to go wake him up, and they said, Jesus, we're going to die. And he said, oh, you of little faith. And he said, be still. And the storm stopped. Then you know what happened then? They were frightened again. They were scared. It was like, who is this guy? That's because this Jesus Christ is holy and something powerful and can say to storms, stop, or he can say to storms, increase. And he can do either one of that in your life. He's a God that loves you so much with a holy kind of love, with a holy kind of love, that he's willing for you to go through some hard things in your life. Because he wants to work something of his glory and of his purpose. And some of those things are so difficult and hard for us because of the storm. And we'll wonder, where's God? When God is the one who's taking you through this. Are you sure that he's in your boat? Are you sure that you have your eyes upon him and your faith in him? Are you sure of it? You know, Jesus, when he told the disciples, now listen to this. He told the disciples, he says, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out as sheep. Now, sheep are pretty meek and mild. Oh, wait a minute. Jesus said of himself, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Sheep don't have anything really to protect themselves. I mean, they just baa. And chew on grass. They don't have claws. But he says, I'm going to send you out. Now get this. I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. He's going to send you out in harm's way. He told the disciples, I'm sending you out, and there's going to be wolves out there, and they're going to want to devour you. In fact, there's some that devoured some of the, in fact, most of, almost all of the disciples became apostles, were devoured and killed by wolves, so to speak. Some heads cut off, some crucified, some stoned. But Jesus sent them into the storm. But they had such a confidence because, see, in their life, they understood something, that there was no one like Jesus Christ. He was altogether holy, and he loved them, and they were willing to give their life for his purpose and his glory. They totally have taken Christ into their ship, into their boat. Are you sure that you've taken him in? Because what that means is that God has control of your life. And see, that's where we can kind of measure, okay, do I really want to have God, or do I fall apart when the storm comes and I'm worried and I'm frustrated and I'm angry at people, I'm angry at God, I'm angry at what's happening, the circumstances of life. I don't like this. I hate this. Are you sure you've invited him into the boat where the storm is? See, there's a lot of people who go out on what are they called, canoes? The one-man canoe? Kayak. Canoe, that's right. Yeah, never mind. Kayak. There's a lot of people that go out on kayaks because they want complete control. They don't want to trust anyone else, but they want to have control of their own life and their own destiny as they go into the rapids or wherever it might be. Because you see, if they tip over, they know and have the ability to bring themselves up, and no one has to help them, and they have control. Are you sure you're not in a kayak and you have control of your own life? Are you sure that you're willing to go into the storm with God? Because there's sometimes that God says to the storms of life, be still. And man, we like that. But there's other times that he creates storms in our life. Because he's our teacher. There's sometimes that he creates storms in life because he wants to show us really where we are. He wants us to see that we're just in that little dinghy by ourselves or that kayak by ourselves, and we're all alone. But when the storm comes, we have nothing to lean upon because we're in control. Are you sure that Jesus is in your boat? Well, I tell you what the best situation would be. Is you find his boat. You get out of your boat and you get in his boat. And it might not be a luxury liner, but man, it is safe. I remember as a teenager, the pastor was preaching on a scripture. I'm going to tell you in a moment, but he preached on this and it struck me, and that became my life message to my heart. And this was it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says he'll add all the other things. And for that young man who that hit him square in his heart and in his head, and it was for years was the only thing I had written in my Bible, Dave, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all the other things. When you're in your own boat, you're trying to add the other things. What is the thing that really rocks your boat? What is the thing that really gets you excited about life? Is it a new car, or is it a career and moving up? And you can have a new car and you can have the career, but is it the thing that you rely on and that is so important to you? And what happens if someone dings your car? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? That in this little, not even a storm, a little squall, someone touched your car. And you're all upset and mad and angry. We just bought a brand new dryer. Carrie, I don't know how old she was, about 4 or 5. Maybe 15. I can't remember. But she gets in the car, and it was a stick apparently. You know, that's one where you shift yourself. You know, I don't know if they still have those, but yeah. And she turned the key, and it was in like, I don't know, first gear or something. She turned the key, and it jumps, and goes right into that dryer. Pretty much ruined it, brand new. Okay, now what do you do with that? How do you act with that? Well, my wife, she told me how I should act. She said, remember, people are more important than things. Right. Right. It was okay. Because that dryer wasn't our God. That dryer wasn't more important. Dave Manning had learned a long time ago, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he'll add all the other things that you need in your life. He'll just take care of those things. You don't have to worry about those things. Now, I wish that I could say that I've lived like that in a pure, right way. Well, I haven't. I could tell you, and I've told you stories where I got all anxious and worried and bothersome, and then I'd have to apologize to God for my selfishness and for my wanting to control the situation as I'm asking God to do something incredible, amazing, and he didn't do it. And I have to apologize to him. Forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Jump in his boat, his kingdom. Because let me tell you something about his boat. It's safe. What do you mean it's safe? Look at those early Christians. Most of them got killed and died. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were safe in the arms of God. And they were so willing so willing to give up their life for him and his purpose. What is God speaking to you in your boat or in his boat? What is God, you know, some of you have had trauma in your life. And it's something that has molded or affected you in a way that it has damaged you in a way that you just can't seem to get past that. Listen, fix your eyes on Jesus. Get in his boat. Because this Jesus Christ is more than just a teacher. He's more than just a prophet. He's God Almighty. And he just might do a miracle for you. If he doesn't, it's okay. Because now you're in his arms. And you'll be in his arms for eternity. But let me tell you, there's a lot of things in our life that we come up so short because we're not in his boat. Or we want control. Or we want to make something happen. Or we want something different than it is. Your marriage, you want to find someone else because it's not good. Maybe that other place that you would want out of this marriage here, maybe there's a little dinghy that looks good. That little, what do they call a life raft or something? And it looks good, and you would like to just, if I could just get over in that, I will be okay. You'll be okay until God brings a storm, because I'm telling you, he's going to bring a storm. Because God is our teacher, and he shows us who we really have our faith in and our trust in and our hope in. Who are you trusting in? Are you in his boat? Are you serving him? Is he everything to you? Are you living for him? And in your life, seeking him first and his righteousness. And then whatever happens, it's okay. He said he would give you what you need. Did you notice I've said 3 or 4 or 5 times, maybe 6, give you what you need. Did you notice I said that? You notice that the word need, and I didn't say he'll give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. We're so far from just wanting what we need because we want to be in control. And we want a lot of stuff. And a lot of those things that we want in life have become gods to us and idols that we serve. And then when those things are taken away, we're angry, we're frustrated, we want to strike out, and we wonder, where is God? Oh, dear friends, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all the things that you need. You might not get what you want, and it might be dissatisfying, but Jesus is trying to teach you that in your life. That you need him. You don't need that other thing. Worship team, come on up. The storms of life. There's just a little poem. I think it was John Newton that wrote this. His love in times past forbids me to think. He'll leave me at last in troubles to sink. By prayer, let me wrestle. Then he will perform with Christ in the vessel. I smile at the storm. Father, I just pray by your Holy Spirit, as the storms of life hit us all, and the pains, the difficulties, but help us to keep our eyes upon you. As these storms come, Lord, may we lean hard into you, for there is the safety for life. There is the peace for life. There is the rest for the soul for life. We thank you for that. How awesome are you? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing this song.
Christ is my reward. Satisfied through every storm, my soul will sing, no turning back. I've been set free. Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need is in you. Everything I need. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross.
You can know if you're in his boat. And that when you go through the storms of life, that he's teaching you some good things. This is how you can know. Because Jesus summed the law up and the Bible up into two things. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. If in your life and the things that you go through, if you're loving people more and greater and better in your life, and you're loving God more, better, and greater in your life, you can be sure God is in it. But if you find yourself in the difficulties of life being critical of the boss that fired you and just hateful, and you hold that against him for years, if you had someone who harmed you as a child and you're still holding that, oh, dear one, I'm telling you, he can come and give you a love that will change everything in your life. And it will bring about a peace and a joy in him. It'll bring about something in God that is restful and peaceful. Let's pray and ask God to do that. So, Father, oh, how awesome are you? How great you are. Lord, you can turn the world upside down and destroy just with a thought. The sun can be gone from the sky just by you saying, shut off. But you don't do that. You turned to a world that didn't care about you and that was lost, and you loved us. And you gave your only begotten Son to die for us so that we could have life in you and relationship with you. Oh, Father, teach us in your ways so we can love you better. Teach us, Lord, as we're in your ship so that we can love others better, that you might be glorified and honored. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.